And it's time to talk gadgets. Fevzi, our gadget detective, is here on hand to offer you free advice. Do get in touch if you've got a problem with anything gadget related. So if it's your smartphone playing up, maybe your tablet's giving you issues, whatever it is, you can get in touch with Fevzi. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Fevzi, have you got a gadget of the week for us today?
Yes, I do. Gadget of the week is from a company called Elgato. That's E-L-G-A-T-O, and it's called the Smart Key. It's one of these devices that is designed to help you not lose things.
I need one of these in my life.
Like keys or bags or you know, even your car, actually, it can use it. So this particular one is designed for people who use iPhones and iPads. There are others, but I chose this one because it's got a few additional tricks up its sleeve. But bear in mind that there are similar devices that perhaps do less, but can do at least the basics for you. So this is called the Smart Key, and it's a little fob that you can attach either to a bunch of keys or to a handbag, or to, if you're traveling, to your luggage, you know, or indeed you can just leave one in the car. And it works in a variety of ways. So the first thing is, let's say you've just lost your keys, you can use your iPad or your iPhone to link to the device and locate it. Okay, and the reason why you can leave it in your car, the good thing about that is it uses the GPS coordinates that your phone will have had and can lead you back to your car. So particularly if you've parked it in a car park and you just can't remember where it is.
Oh, I'm always doing that. I need this gadget in my life. There's nothing worse. When you park in like a multi-story car park and, of course, you get back and you think, oh,
yeah,
I can't quite remember which floor I was on.
Was it 47 Banana Area I left it in, or 22 Frankfurter? What was it?
This is a brilliant idea.
But so it does that, and that's, I think that's sort of cool in itself, but it does other things. So for example, let's say you're at an airport and you've got your luggage and you've got the tag on the luggage. You may walk off and leave a piece of luggage behind you. It will alert you when you get a certain distance away from it. It will alert you. Equally, if someone sneakily comes up and tries to steal that piece of luggage, as they get past a certain distance, and it's only a few meters, you'll be alerted to the fact that that luggage is now parted from you.
Oh.
As I say, you can put it in your car. The other nice one when you're traveling is it not only detects when things are leaving your immediate area, but when they enter it. So for example, let's say you've got it on your luggage and you've just landed and you're waiting for your luggage to arrive and you have to stand by the rotating carousel and wait and wait and wait. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just sit down, let everyone else stress, you sit down, and when your luggage comes within range, it sends you an alert on your phone saying, Alison, I'm here now.
Oh, can you imagine how smug you could be? Oh, let them all go and wait for their luggage. I'm just going to sit back and take it easy.
Yeah, so this is from Elgato. It's called the Smart Key. It's about £30. They do packs where you can buy more and it works out a bit cheaper. So they're not cheap. There are sort of cheaper devices that do less, but I'm particularly fond of these ones. I use it, and it saved me a lot of time and hassles, particularly when I've mislaid my car keys.
Yeah.
You know, not just when I'm traveling, but, you know, they're in this jacket or that jacket, or I've locked them inside the car or whatever it is. At least I know where they are and I can find them. And it's quite cool because you can get a little map and it can come up and actually show you where it is on the map if it's not in the immediate vicinity. So pretty good. 4 stars, Elgato Smart Key.
Could you attach one of them to a child, or would that... be a step too far? Yeah. In fact, don't joke, there probably is already something out on the market
There are things similar to that, not only for children but for elderly people as well, who may be people who sometimes go wandering.
Sure.
And there is a device, actually we'll cover it 1 week, there's a device that's not only got GPS in it, which is location based, but also can detect a fall. So it's got what's called an accelerometer in it. So you know the thing that normally used in games on smartphones, you know, when you tilt your smartphone, it knows you've tilted it.
Yeah.
It can detect a sudden movement, such as a fall, and send out an emergency distress signal.
That's clever, isn't
so
it
doesn't require the person to have the wherewithal to push a button. So let's say maybe they're suffering from, you know, some form of dementia, or just are too hurt or knocked unconscious. You don't need to push a button. One of those devices will do it. So we will cover that in another week.
Yeah, wow, that would give you peace of mind, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
You can get in touch if you have a question for Fevzy. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Now, though, we're talking gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzy. If you've got a question for Fevzy, you can get in touch. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. It's interesting, Fevzy, isn't it? I think we can be kind of fooled into thinking that everybody is online. You know, everybody nowadays is savvy when it comes to technology. And yet, I was reading the other day, almost two-thirds of people over the age of 75 have never been online.
Yeah, it is surprising, isn't it? Because if you live in a world like I live, where, you know, you're never more than a meter away from some sort of internet connected device, you know, you kind of forget and you take it for granted that everyone has access to the internet. And as you say, there was a survey just recently from the Office for National Statistics, so it's a reputable survey. It says, as you say, almost two-thirds of people over 75 have never been online. And that means a lot more maybe have been on once or twice, but don't use it anymore or don't use it regularly. And similarly, 25% of disabled people have never used the internet as well. And the reason why it's important, this is not a geeky concern. This is not because I think they, you know, necessarily need to be using, you know, Twitter or Facebook or something, although that is a good form of social interaction for people who sometimes are a bit sort of cut off. But it's also because if you don't use the internet, life is a lot more expensive.
Yeah,
because, you know, you get discounts for booking things online, you've got price comparison websites, you get charge surcharges, you know, with insurance companies. You go to insurance company, if you speak to one of their people on the phone, it can be 10% more expensive than online. And even I've had it where, you know, you do a search and you find the same company offering the same, say, insurance policy cheaper online, but they won't match it until you tell them you've seen it online. And that's, it's kind of like this sort of two-tier Britain, isn't it? You've got the people who are internet savvy enough, who live more cheaply, and the people who maybe need the most help with their finances, arguably, because, for example, being older or being disabled, it incurs additional costs. You know, it's not cheap to need the help of others sometimes. And these are the very people who need that extra help who are being overcharged, and in a way they're subsidising the rest of us, and that's not really fair.
No, it's the haves and have-nots again. Although, you know, you're saying, yes, in the short term, it's cheaper, you know, if you are online. There will be people listening, young and old, who say, well, actually, the reason I'm not online is because I'm scared of losing my money. You know, I think security is a massive issue. You know, I know people of, an older generation who won't go near the internet. They won't do online banking. You know, they're still wary of direct debits because they think their money will get taken.
And you do need to be careful. I mean, I spoke to a lady the other day who'd been scammed. She was an older lady, I think, judging by her voice, and she'd been scammed. And, you know, we had to go through some, and we'll cover this, I think, in a future week, but we had to go through very careful steps, one at a time, to say this is what you need to do to recover it. Having said that, just because you have access to the internet, just because you learn how to use a browser and search for prices, doesn't mean you have to necessarily enter card details or shop online or anything. The trick to it is to get someone that you know and trust to show you the basics, and don't try and learn it all at once. You know, just learn one or two tricks about how to log on and how to use Google. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, your credit card details and even email and all that initially. You can just do a bit of silver surfing, as it were. So I think it is a good thing. Anyone who's listening to this show who needs some help, I'd be delighted to, you know, give anyone that sort of basic help. No question is too basic, and there are no silly questions. And believe me, people often are concerned about asking what they think are very basic questions, but believe me when I say this, for every person that asks a question like that, there are hundreds if not thousands of other people who are glad that question was asked, because they can actually hear the answer to it as well.
Absolutely. If you do have a question for Fevzy, if maybe you are one of these people who's never actually gone online, almost two-thirds of people aged over 75 believe to have never been online, if that's you, what is stopping you? I'd be interested to know what it is that puts you off. Maybe it is that you just kind of don't know where to start. And if that's the case, that's what Fevzi's here to help with this afternoon. You can give us a call, the number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio.
Cranners here with your BBC Sussex Events Guide. I hope you had a good weekend. They always go so quick, don't they? Anyway, stuff for this weekend coming up. Burpham Village Fete is taking place on Saturday afternoon between 2 and 4. That's at the Burpham Village Cricket and Recreation Ground, BN189RR, if you need some guidance to get there. They've got stalls, tombolas, children's fancy dress. There's a fancy dress competition and cream teas as well. And also on Saturday, after that, you can go from Burpham to Brighton, because at 8 in the evening at the Comedia, which is on Gardiner Street in Brighton, they've got the Funny Women Awards 2016. That's at 8 p.m. The search for Britain's funny comedians continues. Previous winners of Funny Women Award include Brighton resident Zoe Lyons. That's all part of the Brighton Fringe. Look at their website, brightonfringe.org/boxoffice.
It's 22 minutes past 2 and we're talking technology with our gadget detective, Fevzi. If you've got a question for him, you can call 03459 570057. Carol's got in touch from Worthing. Afternoon, Carol.
Good afternoon.
Hello. You want some information about how to back up your smartphone, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I've got a Samsung S5 and I'm looking at what is the best way to back it up. I've seen something called a Samsung Evo Plus, which is good for various things, and I'm just one, which is a memory card.
Mm-hmm.
SD, hi Fevzi, SDXC.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously on the Samsung 5, I've got 32 gigabytes, I think? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering what to back it up with, maybe it's only 16, because ridiculously, of course, lots of applications have taken up the memory.
Yeah, so you don't have much to spare.
My
yeah.
Samsung S3 allowed me to sort of go on and do various things. This is already stopping.
Okay.
So, yes, please.
Carol, do you use a computer as well as your phone? Do you have a laptop or a desktop computer?
I've got a laptop, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That also needs backing up.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll back up the phone to the computer, and then we'll back up everything on the computer, including the phones, back up onto something
you've
else.
You've got a fun afternoon ahead of you, Carol. Hey,
Carol, it's so good you do this, you know, because I was helping someone the other day who had some very irreplaceable photos on a hard drive that had died, and they were just in tears. And we managed to get most of it back, but even then, not all of it, and it wasn't an easy task. So you know, Your call is very timely, I think, and will be a warning to others. Please think now about what information you've got on your smartphone or your laptop or your desktop computer, and think about what would happen if it were suddenly to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe it's a novel you've been working on for the last 5 years. Maybe, you know, it's some irreplaceable photos. Could be anything. But if you haven't got a backup, it will go. So in terms of backing up, the best way to back up your phone, the easiest way to back up your phone, is to your computer. Some phones, by the way, also have a memory card slot built into them. If you have that, then you can actually just copy it onto what's usually a micro SD card directly inside the phone, take the card out and keep it safe as a backup. If you haven't got that, then you can connect the phone to the computer, either using a cable that comes with a lot of smartphones, but if not, is easily purchasable, or wirelessly using something like Bluetooth to connect to a peak computer. And then the best and easiest thing to do is to use the application provided by the manufacturer of your phone. So if you go to the Samsung's website, the support section, they have their own backup utility. Okay, in the old days, they used to give you like a disk in with your phone, but those days have largely gone now, so you have to download the utility. And the benefit of that is it's specific to your phone, and it will back up most parts. Some of them don't back up things like text messages, and there are some third-party applications that can do that, but it will back up the essentials, you know, your contact lists, maybe emails if you're using that sort of thing. So that would be my advice to you. So then do that regularly, I would say at least once a week, just connect it, and for the most part it should just back up automatically once you've installed the right software. Then you've got the problem of, well, that's all well and good, but what happens if my computer dies, because it'll take all my laptop data plus my smartphone data with it as well.
And for me, my laptop is going back a bit.
Yeah, okay, so that's not a problem. It just
it's
means
it's a Windows 7 and it's an i5, so it's okay.
Oh, well, it will be fine. So what you need to do, if you haven't already got one, you need to buy an external hard drive which will connect to your computer via a USB connection. Yeah.
For me, that's where I'm finding it difficult to make a decision.
Okay.
As to what is good, what is reliable. I've read some things that, you know, that they can work for a little while and then let you down.
Okay. So one backup is not enough, is the answer. You actually have to back up your backup. Okay. Because if you've only got one backup, and particularly if you've got it on your desk next to your laptop, and God forbid there's a fire or a flood or a theft, they could just as easily steal the backup drive. So the idea is you should have more than one backup. But let's deal with the drive first of all. So you want to buy a great big capacity drive because they're cheap now. So even though your machine, I'm guessing, what's it got on it? A few hundred gigabytes of hard drive?
Yes.
500 or 320, like that. Okay. Yeah. So what you can do is you can buy what's called a 2 terabyte drive, which is 2,000 gigabytes. So it would back up your computer four times over without, you know, without even blinking. And they are cheap. I mean, they're a few tens of pounds, and I know that's not nothing, but compared to the value of what you're trying to save, you know, that's cheap, and they used to cost a lot more.
How do you choose which one to purchase? I know you can't give out.
I mean, get a good brand name, Seagate, Western Digital, all good. Yeah, mm-hmm. There are other good brands. Get a brand name that you recognize.
Yep.
Get one that has got a USB 3 connection on it, even if your laptop may only support the older USB 2, mm-hmm. because a USB 3 drive will work perfectly well with a USB 2 computer, but then in the future, if you then upgrade your computer, you'll have the benefit of the speed of that drive. So USB 3 drives will work with USB 2, even USB 1. Okay, so get a USB 3 connected drive, get one that's around 2 terabytes in capacity. Then you need to think about, do I want one that's a sort of desktop drive that will plug into the mains and power that way, which will tend to be a bit cheaper for the given capacity, but less convenient to use? Or do I want one that's a size of a bar of soap sort of size, in which case I can pocket it and take it with me, and power it from the actual laptop, no separate power supplies required? That's a personal choice. Okay, just look around the market, look at when a deal comes up and get it. Pay for it ideally using your credit card, and I'd suggest buying it either online, but not in a shop, because your rights to return it if you're not happy for any reason are greater. Okay, and then you can back up. So Windows has got a backup utility built into it. You can use that. If you want to get, you know, more sophisticated in your backup regimen, then you can use a piece of software such as Acronis True Image. That's Acronis True Image, and that gives you a lot more flexibility. A couple of things: make sure that you password protect your backup, because what you don't want to do is leave an unprotected copy of your data lying around. Right. And ideally, when you finish backing up, disconnect the device from the computer, mm-hmm. and take it to a different location. So, a trusted friend or your workplace, mm-hmm. or your home, wherever your computer isn't. So that you must have it on more than one location. And some people back up to the cloud as a second type of backup as well.
Yes, I'm very wary about that.
As am I. So there's some things I'll back up to the cloud, like recordings of radio shows that are public anyway, but other things I will not, you know, so personal information. No, I think absolutely not. But you, if you are backing up to anywhere, encrypt it with a password. You know, not just password protected, but encrypt it. So those are the sort of essentials of what you need to look out for. Do the backups regularly. When you do the initial backup, after that you can do what are called incremental backups. So the first backup might take, let's say, an hour to complete, but then a good piece of backup software will just back up the changes since the last backup, so it can be done very quickly. You could do it every night and just, you know, put the drive aside. So that's the advice. Very, very important to do backups. And I'll give you one final reason why it's important. It's not just protecting against theft or flood or, you know, lightning strike or whatever. There are also viruses out there called ransomware. And what they do when they infect your computer, they will scramble all the files on your computer and all the files on any drive connected to your computer at the time. Mm-hmm. And then they will say to you, this is what we've done. If you want to see them again, it will cost you a few £100, and they ransom your files back to you. Mm-hmm. So the way around that is to keep regular backups and then disconnect it so that even if your computer got infected, the backup wouldn't get scrambled. Mm,
the thing is, you always think it won't happen to you. I've got a backup as well. Carol, we'll get on it.
Thank you. I'll
look after your drive. You can look after mine, and we'll work it like that. Carol, thank you
so
much.
For a wonderful program. Thank you, Fevzy.
Bye.
Thank you. How long then is it going to take from start to finish if I go home and do this backup?
Not that long. I mean, it'll take you a while just to work out exactly how you're going to do it and the various settings and all that. But that's normal. But once you've done that and you just backed up everything, as I say, the first time it may take an hour. It depends how much data you've got and the speed, whether you've got USB 2 or USB 3. You know, 3 is a lot faster.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, you go make a cup of tea.
You don't have to be sat there with it.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It's unattended. But the important thing about that is password protect the backup, because the last thing you want is unprotected, unencrypted copies of your data.
Yeah.
And then, as I say, once you've done that, if you do incremental backups after that, it's a matter of minutes.
Mm. And just finally, what happens if your iCloud gets too full, if you run out of space on the cloud?
Because
I'm getting that message now.
Yeah. Well, Apple are a little bit stingy compared to some other cloud providers in terms of the amount of space that they give you. Although, watch this space, because they've got their developer conference coming up in a few days' time, and they may announce an increase on those limits. But you can pay for more space, or you can have a bit of a clear out and just think about what you need to actually back up in the cloud and what you don't.
Right.
But it's good. I wouldn't rely just upon the cloud, and I personally, and opinions differ on this, but I personally wouldn't put anything too personal onto the cloud, because it's stored outside your control. And you know, websites unfortunately do get hacked. Apple's iCloud was there was a leak of people's photos that were on iCloud. People didn't realize that their iPhones were set to send a copy of every photo they took onto iCloud, because it can be the case that happens, which is a great convenience. But then they had some very personal photos, and some celebrities got caught.
Ouch.
And it's really, it's a shame, because it's always this thing about convenience versus security, convenience versus privacy.
Mm.
So it's very convenient if it automatically sends a copy up to the cloud for you, and that's great if you lose your phone or buy a new phone, because you can restore everything. But if it gets hacked, or if you get hacked and they get your iCloud credentials,
then they've got it all.
Proceed
with caution. Very quickly, because we are out of time, this from Nick. He says, I've been hanging on using my trusted old Windows XP desk top PC for years that has lots of associated software. I'm thinking of buying another PC, but is very familiar with XP. Should I go straight to Windows 10?
Yeah.
Or thinking about learning curve, would Windows 7 be best? Not keen on the idea of Windows 8, as not into touchscreen yet.
No. Well, it's not a question to 8.1, skip it. 7 is more similar to XP, but the problem with 7 is it's no longer current either, and therefore if you buy a brand new machine, although some of the older machines that are still sold as new will have 7 on it, most will now come with Windows 10. So I would bite the bullet, go Windows 10 on a new one, learn it, make sure you've got a complete backup of your old system so you can transfer at least the data onto the new one. But I'd go Windows 10. And by the way, do consider touchscreen, because Windows 10 supports touchscreen and actually supports it better than 8 and 8.1.
Fevzi, as always, thank you so much. Word of the day has to be back up.
Yes.
If we've learned anything, we've learned that. Back it up. Fevzi, thank you so much. As Fevzi says, if you want to get more free tech advice, you can always follow him on Twitter @GadgetDetective.